It's good to see everybody that's come here tonight. Certainly thankful for everybody that's come to be with us. But above all, it's good to be able to feel the Spirit of the Lord here tonight. I was listening over here a while ago to the talks, the good talks, and the Spirit that was moving and the prayer requests that were being made. And I kept thinking, Lord, they're stepping all over what you'd given me tonight. But that's okay. We do what God intends. And that's what we're here to do, is we're not here to serve after man, we're here to serve after God. And I hope and pray that you've come this way tonight to serve God and not to serve yourself or not to be seen of the church or anyone else, but to be here to give God all honor and glory here tonight. I had first thought today that we were going to talk a little bit about the tabernacle. That's what was on my heart this morning, this afternoon, and that's what I was studying out. And later on, it got into the scriptures and was doing some reading. And as I was doing a little bit more reading and all, Lord changed my thought. And it was kind of funny, as I said, that the thought tonight is going to go along with exactly what everybody has done. And that's ask for prayer tonight. And it may seem like a familiar thought, but I want us to look at something right quick first. My text tonight is actually going to come out of the 29th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And when we go over there and we talk about that, we're going to find that God led Israel back into captivity. But there was a purpose for him doing that. But before that, I want you to go over, if you would, to the 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus and look along about that 12th verse there. If you got your Bibles and would like to follow along, I want to go over there for just a very quick moment. In that 33rd chapter, and we'll get that 11th verse, as that's where I want us to start, and we'll talk about that. We find in the 11th verse of the 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." Now that's the two verses that I wanted to bring forth, and I want you to keep those tonight, as the Lord will allow, on your mind and on your heart for just a moment. Now, many a time we'll talk about Moses, and when we talk about Moses and we talk about how that God spoke unto Moses, we find that we also talk to you tonight in times past and gone, and you've heard other preachers talk to you about how that nobody could see God face to face, and even Moses, when he asked to see God, God told him that he couldn't do it. Just to paraphrase, he said, "Lest you shall die," and he so God placed a cleft in a rock, or placed Moses in a cleft in there in the rocks, and Moses saw the hinder parts of him as he passed by. But the scriptures tell us that God knew Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Now I want you to think about that, and think hard about that. We have our thought tonight, if you want to title a sermon. I don't title sermons. But our thought tonight is there's power in prayer. Now go back over to that 33rd chapter, and I don't know why we got to catch this for you, but we want to catch this before we get over into the 29th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And we find in that 33rd chapter, if you would, Then it is talks about the tabernacle for just a few moments there. But you'll find that in the 29th verse there, in the 33rd chapter, you'll find there that in the 8th verse it says, "And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, that the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses." Now you need to understand that tonight, because you see, God talks to his children. Whether most people believe it or not, we try to talk about that from time to time, about how that God knows us and how that God speaks to us through and by the Spirit of the Lord. And he speaks to those, my friends, that has been saved. If you call yourself a child of God, then you've had a time and a place when God has saved you. So, my friends, and that meant that somewhere in your time, in your life, my friend, you had to pray unto God and ask for forgiveness. And God met with you, didn't he? You see, we find that God met with Moses, did he not? Several times God met with Moses. And he met with Moses so much that he knew him face to face. What does this have to do with the power of prayer? There's one thing that I can rest assured of, and some of you are going to say, now, Brother Barber, don't get so hard on us. But I can rest assured of one thing, and that is that most people don't pray like they should. And I'm one of those. I'll just be honest with you. And when we think about that, we think about how most people, myself included, don't pray the way that we should, and yet we want to teach the lost that they're supposed to pray unto God. We need to be thankful that they have an example, and it may not be me, but somebody somewhere has shown them how to pray. Now, with that, if you would go over with me to that 29th chapter as we was talking about of the book of Jeremiah. As I said before, God shows me things a little bit different than he shows other people, or I say he does. Maybe really not. But sometimes you have to muddy up the water just a little bit before it gets clear. In the 29th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, we find over there, and this is where our reading lesson is actually going to come from tonight, so we're going to take a rather lengthy reading lesson here. And you'll find in that very first verse, and we're doing this as the Lord allows us so that you can get a background, an understanding of actually what went on here. We find that now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captive to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah and the king and the queen and the eunuchs and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, the king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, of God, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to the husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and to pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And with mistakes we may have made in our reading, as I said, it's a rather lengthy reading lesson out of the 29th chapter there of the book of Jeremiah, the first 13 verses. Now what I want you to understand in that background, listen, we find that God had given his children over to Babylonian captivity. And when he gave them over to Babylonian captivity, he also sent unto them by the word a letter that Jeremiah sent unto them. And he said unto them, he said, now listen, just because I brought you over here into captivity, I don't want you to go in there and do the things that they do and become pagan and things of this nature. I want you to go in there and I want you to flourish and I want you to think and have the thoughts that you need to have, not to be partakers of the false doctrines, not to be partakers and be given away to the false prophets, but to think about the things that I can do, because I promise you I will come again in 70 years and I will bring unto you that peace. That's what he said. And he said, and when I do, he said, if you'll listen and you'll fall not to them, but if you'll pray, he said, that I'll hear your words. Listen, my friends, tonight, there's power in prayer. If you didn't believe there was power in prayer, then everybody here tonight that asked a prayer request for their loved one or for somebody, my friends, then they were just doing it as a mouth service because they felt like that's what they needed to do to show people that they believe in God. But my friends, I believe deep down in their heart, they know that there's power in the prayer of God's children.
Amen.
I believe that too. Not only do they believe that there's power in the prayers of God's children and that God hears my friends, but I also know that if they've been saved by the grace of God tonight, as we heard many talk about how that they want to thank God for salvation, my friends, then they know that there was a time, at least in their life, when they prayed and got through to the one who could save them. And God heard them. There was power in that prayer, was there not? Well, friends, I'm here to tell you tonight, if you hear you're lost, but there's still power in prayer. Now, I hope and pray that you hear you've been saved, but your first thought is toward the lost. Now, I hope that's your heart's desire, because that's what our desire should be, is that the lost be saved. As we said last night, if you're not carrying a burden for anything, or you don't have a burden upon your heart, ask God to give you one. Because when God saved your soul, my friends, he put the love of God within us that makes us love every man and want to see everybody at the same salvation.
Amen.
And it is the same salvation. Let's just be honest about it. There ain't but one salvation. And Paul tells us over in the book of Ephesians. What does Paul say about that? Paul says in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, he says that it's a gift of God. Did you know that? He said it is a gift of God, he said, and it's not of man, lest any man should boast. Boy, people today love to talk about everything they did. What did the letter that the Lord sent Jeremiah to write unto the children of Judah over there, to the children of Israel, even in the Babylonian captivity? What did it say? It said, don't be given unto the diviners. Don't be given unto dreams that you bring on yourself, and don't be given unto their false doctrines, but hold ye steadfast to the Lord. Listen, God wants to hear from his children.
Amen.
He wants to know that even in the hard times, that we don't turn from God, but we look to God.
Amen.
And friends, I want you to understand that tonight, because so many of us get out there and we start complaining about, oh, woe is me, this is what's happened in my life. Oh, woe is me, I don't understand why this goes on. My friends, what even in the hard times, God can get honor and glory if we allow him to.
Amen.
Many times we may suffer things for the Lord. But let me tell you, friends, there's power in prayer
children. Did you know that? Some of you say, no, that's not so. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. How many of you tonight, and I'm not asking for a show of hands, I'm not going to even, well, I've already told you I can't say no, but it's all right. But I see you silhouettes, let's just be honest about that. That's all I see. I'm not going to ask you for a show of hands, but how many of you got family or friends that have never told you a time and a place when the Lord has saved their soul, but yet they have things in their lives that go wrong that they want you to help pray for? How many of you work with people? I work with people all the time. The only thing they can tell me about salvation is some of them say, well, Brother Anthony, I paid my tithes every Sunday. That ain't going to get you to heaven.
Right.
Others tell me sometimes, they say, well, Brother Anthony, my preacher told me that I was saved. That ain't going to get you to heaven, that's for sure. I'm thankful to God tonight that I can't save tonight. Brother Patterson be saying the same thing. Because I'm telling you, friends, there's not a one of us that's good enough or can live good enough to be able to save your soul.
Amen.
Or our own, in fact. Amen. But to have people that will always tell you what they believe and how that they think that they're saved, but they know not what salvation is, but they'll come to you and ask you to pray for them. You know why that is? Because they know that there is power in the prayer of God's children, because God's children can get in touch with the Lord. Even atheists will tell you that there's no God, but when it comes right down to it and they need help, they'll holler out, Lord, help me. Or they'll come to somebody and say, can you pray for me? It's happened. I've seen it happen. Friends, every one of us understands somewhere that there's something greater than us. And we need to know that. Because you see, there's not one of us tonight that can do anything without God. Now,
we find on over for just a few moments, if you would. Go with us to the book of Mark for just a second. In the 11th chapter. And we're going to start there, and the Lord doing the speaking there in the 23rd verse. And we're going to tie this together for you for just a little bit as the Lord shows us. I get accused many a time by people, says, Brother Anthony, you spent a whole lot of time in the Old Testament. Don't you realize we're under the New Testament church? You know, let me tell you something, friends. There ain't a single word that's ever been written in this Bible that doesn't go hand in hand all the way through with God. I don't care if you say you're under the New Testament church or not. You better get in the Old Testament and understand what they went through and what God has pinned down, because it is meant for us to know and to guide us.
Amen.
Even Jesus himself said, think not that I've come to destroy the law, but I've come to fulfill the law. He said, therefore, forget not the weighty matters of the law. In other words, he said, I bring it all together. Brought it all. You know how many people I have tell me, you know, I'm glad that they took the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses and out of the schools and things. I have people tell me that all the time, because that was Old Testament. Let me tell you something, friends. We still have to live by the Word of God.
Yeah.
And what great instructions are those commandments.
Amen.
Now, I want you to also understand, people tell me all the time, and I don't know why the Lord's got me on this tonight. I have people in the last 30 years that I've been trying to preach for, I've been trying to work for the Lord, and God has called me out to preach, to carry the gospel, however you want to say it. I want you to understand that I've had people from every sort, every walk of life. I've worked many different jobs, and I've talked to many different people, and they're all time telling me about how it is that we as missionary Baptists, that we need to shut our doors, and we need to go along with this doctrine that they have today, because here we are trying to teach people about an old-fashioned salvation, about an old-time way that doesn't go along in today's world. Let me tell you something, my friends. The Word of God is true. through today just as it was yesterday and will be forever and will be when this whole world is on fire. And my friends, I want you to know something today. If you don't know God, you will split hell wide open. You'll split hell wide open if you don't know the Lord. That's just truth. You die lost and without God, you've chosen your place. Now, we get on over there and we find their thought tonight again is power and prayer. We find over in the 11th chapter of the book of Mark, in that 23rd verse, as we said, as Jesus is doing the speaking there, y'all have to forgive me just a little bit, I'm about to lose my voice. It says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." Now go back with me, for I don't want to misquote this again. The first few verses is where we're coming from with this thought. You'll find there, he says, "Be thou removed." Anyone that say, "Be thou removed unto this mountain and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Listen, he says, if you'll pray and you'll ask and you'll believe with all your heart, then you ask and you trust in God, it shall be done. My friends, the night that the Lord saved my soul as a 13-year-old boy, I want you to know I had to believe that God was going to take care of me even if it took my own life, my friends. I had to put it all in. Well, you're saying, Brother Barber, that's not what Jesus said over there. He said that if you believe that this mountain shall be moved and you trust and you say it and you truly believe it, that it'll be moved. Let me tell you something, friends. It's a mountain when God takes your soul and saves it from that old sinful state that it's in. Like it or not, it truly is a mountain. People say, "I don't see God performing miracles anymore." Let me tell you something, friends. Every breath not only is a gift of God, but it's a miracle of God. And every time that a child is born into this world, it is a miracle of God. Every time that the leaves turn green in the spring, or the trees bud, the leaves turn green, that's a miracle of God. Every time in the fall that the leaves turn brown or red or whatever color and they fall to the ground, that's a miracle of God. My friends, we see miracles every day. And why is that? Because God intends for things to continue on until he's ready to send his son back to gather up his children. It does. And what does he mean by that? He intends for things to go on. I'll tell you what he means by that. He intends for God's children to be working, to be praying, and to be looking for the things of God. When we look for the things of God, the Spirit moves. Did you know that? Yes, it can. When we start looking for the things that God wants to bless us with, the Spirit takes control and then moves. You know, I heard several of them say, "Pray for so-and-so, they're lost. Pray for this person, they're lost." There was a few last night that said that their child that was with them was lost, and things of this nature. You know, friends, we can tell people that they're lost, that so-and-so's lost, to pray for them all day long. Again, we don't know anybody's heart. That's between them and God. But when we start acting upon the things of God and start looking for the miracles that God can perform, that's when God will come in and he'll take control of that situation.
It'll move upon them, and it'll draw them. The Bible teaches us that if we lift God up before this world, before man, before this world, he'll draw all men unto him.
Amen.
That's what it teaches us. How many are willing to lift God up in the right way? How many times have people, have you talked to somebody? I talked to them. I didn't want to know for myself. Let's just go with my own self. I know for myself. How many times have you gotten down to pray? And I want to tell you right now, friends, and some of you are going to throw rocks at me, but that's okay. I want to tell you right now, Missionary Baptist ain't got nothing on praying. And I'm going to tell you that because I want you to understand. We try to tell everybody you got to get down and pray. You got to get on your knees and pray. You ain't got to do nothing but what God tells you to do. Prayer comes from the heart.
Amen.
That's where it comes from. Well, let me tell you something, friends. How many times have you gotten hurt in that position to pray, whatever position it may be, and you say, well, my prayers never got any higher than my head? Friends, I'm going to tell you something. It's not because God wasn't trying. It's because you wasn't there where God wanted you to be. Let's be honest about it. If you know that your prayers ain't got no higher, you need to go back and figure out what's wrong.
Amen. Right.
What did he say over there? He said, if you have aught with anyone, he said, ask for forgiveness. Did he not?
Amen.
Ask him for forgiveness. Boy, that's not easy to do. I don't remember who it was. It's all right. Sister or brother, I can't remember which one said. You know, it's hard for us to go to somebody and ask him to forgive us of the things that we do. It's hard to go to God and ask for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You know why that is? Because I can hide some things from you. I can hide nothing from God.
Amen.
Not a thing can I hide from God. He knows everything about me even before it happens. He knows everything about my heart. He knows every thought in my mind. He knows every word that's going to come out of my mouth. He knows every hair that's on my head. And even the ones that fell off somewhere, he knows where they're at. He knows everything about me. And he knows when I get ready to pray, if I'm ready to pray. You see, I want you to understand something tonight, especially if you're here and you're lost. I realized at the age of 11 years old that I was lost and I was separated from God. That trouble came into my heart, and I knew that if I died, I'd go straight to hell. I went with my grandmothers and I went with my mother to church here and there. Now, we wasn't a religious family. I'm not going to lie to you, tell you what. We grew up Missionary Baptist way, but we were some of those holiday Baptists. You go on Easter, you go on Christmas, and you go through the week because the revival's going on. But then on Sunday, most of the time, you say the pass or done whatever was pleasing. That's where we grew up. But when you realize that you were lost, for some reason, they all of a sudden got to the point where now it's time to get them in church. And I'm going to tell you something else, friends. That's not a way to live. My sister did the exact same thing, because that's the way we were raised. My mother had the nerve to tell me that I had mistreated my children, even to the point of possible abuse, because I took them to church every Sunday. I had them at revivals. I was the pastor of church 65 miles away from where I lived at the time when my family and I lived. And we couldn't come home every Sunday afternoon and go to my grandparents and have dinner with the rest of the family. And I'd get phone calls and say, you're wrong for what you're doing. They should be with their family. Let me tell you something, friends. That is not the way to live the life of God.
Amen.
You see, I got in a little discussion, and that's what I'll call it, with a wonderful friend of mine. old preacher friend, been preaching just about as long as I have, his Lord Lattice. 30 years. He made a statement one time here not too long ago. He said, somebody said to him, said, I hear that there's a lot of children going to the altar at the church. He said, well, you know how it is. He said, some of them, they're like 4 or 5 years old, and some of them 6 and 7 years old. And he said, you know how it is. They see other people doing it, and they just kind of feel like they need to mock it. And so, but they're not really getting interested out of it. He said, but you can't really say nothing. I looked at him. I said, come here, I need to talk to you. He said, what's going on? I said, let me tell you something. I said, I don't like what you said. He said, why is that? I said, because you're telling me that there's an age of accountability. I said, I'm going to tell you there's no age to accountability. I said, because I want you to understand that God can save one that's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old just as well as he can somebody 20, 30, 40, 90 years old. I said, because between them and God, it's not coming in you. I want you to understand that. And I want you to also understand tonight that I can prove this by my own family, because not a single one of my children was as old as I was when I finally found salvation at the age of 13. All of my children was 6, 7, 8 years old, all three of them. And why is that? Because they knew that God, there was something wrong and there was something missing. They came and they said, I'm lost. I didn't go to them. I didn't try to force them. They came to me. And they said, Daddy, help me. Micah said, in the Walmart parking lot, in an old van, Micah said, Daddy, I'm lost. I looked at him and I said, son, there ain't a thing that I can do for you. I said, you're going to have to go to God. You see, it's not anything that I can do. The only thing that I can do is pray that the Lord intervene with you. That's all that I can do. Now let me tell you something, friends. When you see your child, and my daughter, my oldest daughter, got up, we was at a revival at Hilltop Missionary Baptist Church, and my oldest daughter got up, and she looked at me, and I said, where are you going? I thought she was getting up to go to the bathroom. She was trying to come out of the pew. And she looked at me, and she said, Daddy, I'm lost. And when she said that, my heart fell to my feet, and there was not a thing that I could say to her. She headed up toward the altar as best she could get. The house was crowded that night, and she fell down the floor. But I didn't know that, because I had already fell down praying back here. Because we say, friends, what I want you to understand, there is power in prayer with God. When God's children get that broken heart that they need, God is here. You think that the lost are the only ones that can have a broken heart? Let me tell you something. Just because David said that God is nigh to those that are of a broken heart and say such to be of a contrite spirit, my friends, I want you to understand, God's children need a broken heart. You think that when he led them into captivity and Babylonian captivity, that he told them that it's going to be all right, you can go about being joyful all you want to? He said no. He said, go ahead and you multiply. He said, go ahead and do make your houses and give your sons to marry and your daughters to marry. He said, but don't fall for the things that go on there. He said, pray to me. Pray to me. And he said, when you pray, I'll hear. You'll hear. Friends, we sometimes have to realize that we've got to get in a better shape in order to get our prayers up to God. I would love to say that all of God's children is exactly where they need to be at every time. I'd love to say that I'm exactly where I need to be every time. But I'm not. None of us can say that. We have to be in shape to pray. Did you know that? Yeah. That's why Jesus told him, he said, if you have all against anyone, ask for forgiveness. Ask him to forgive you. He said, because if you can't ask for forgiveness, how do you expect the Father in heaven to forgive you? That's what he said. Ask him. Go unto him. And then come to me and pray. Friends, Moses knew God face to face. I'm fixing to shock you with a little something. Moses didn't want the work that God called him into. Don't believe it? Go back home and read it. Moses stood before God and said, Lord, he said, how can you send me? For you know I'm a man of poor speech. But he basically told him, he said, I can't speak, God. You know I've got a list. I can't talk. He didn't want it. I don't know a whole lot of people that's wanted a whole lot of things that God's given us. Just to be honest with you, when God asked us to do something, I didn't want to preach. I'll be honest with you. I know one of my preaching brother does, a good cousin of mine, wonderful cousin, wonderful preacher, Carrie Kemp. Love him to death. He wanted it. I didn't. There's a big difference between us. But no matter how hard I ran, God didn't leave me alone either. You see, there's a purpose behind everything. And what that purpose is, we may not know about it at all. We may not even understand it. But it'll be revealed to us one day. Works that we do for God, they're seen amongst this world. Sometimes the smallest things have the biggest impact. One of the greatest things that I can remember in my childhood, going to a church in Macon County. It's called Old Bottom now. Back then it was called Old Beach Bottom. There was a man, same little brother, that went there by the name of Brother Bridgewater Woodman. Happy man. He'd shout quite often. But then there was times, and I happened to be there a few of those times. There was times that the Lord just got hooked up. Tears would flow from his eyes, and the only thing he'd do is sit laying in the corner like this. Looking up. Hand raised in the air, and not say a word. Most of us today are too ashamed to even say, thank you, God, for what you've done for me. Most of us today are too ashamed to say, the Lord told me to come talk. And I'm going to tell you something else. Most of us today are too ashamed to help build the altar when somebody comes to the altar first. Now I'm going to go on and I'm going to say a little something else to you, Lord Lindsay. If God leads you to say something to somebody, do it. If God's not leading you, don't.
Amen.
Because you can do more damage than you can do good.
Right.
At the same time, just because God's not leading you to say anything to them don't mean that you can't pray for them. One of the worst things I believe we've done in our churches is we've figured, well, it's between them and God. It's perfectly fine for them to be up there praying. Yeah, that's perfectly fine for them to be praying in the back of the house, up at the altar, wherever they may be, wherever the altar is that they pray before God. It's perfectly fine. But it's all right for God's children to gather around and pray with them. It's all right for us to pray and ask God to bring that spirit down from on high. It's all right for us to pray. I want you to understand. You go over and you find Elijah over there as he stood before the 450 prophets of Baal over there, and he erected that altar before them. You'll find that he did exactly what God told him to do there. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and even after, before he started praying, he prayed, my friend. We'll talk about it in just a second. But before he started praying, he built that old, erected that old altar that had been torn down. He put the wood upon it, he put the bullet upon it, and he poured about the trench around it, and then poured water on it, as God had instructed him to, and then he prayed to God. And he prayed so fervently that the fire of God came down. Amen. You think that God's children can't pray that fervently today? I'm here to tell you that there's power in prayer, and we can pray enough to get that fire of God down on high, from on high, if we will just turn ourselves back over to God.
Amen.
And we need to.
Amen.
Because friends, the lost need salvation.
Amen.
They need to see God's children working. And they need to see God's children where that God can use them.
Amen.
They need to see the houses full again. They need to see God's children testifying. They need to see us standing and preaching. And they need to see us singing and just hanging our hand up in the air. They need to see the tears coming down and no words being spoken. My friends, they need to see God's children being humble again before God. This world today teaches you that it's a shame to be to have humility. Did you know that? Yes, it is. They tell them in all things, my wife's a school teacher. Thank God she teaches other Christians. I'm making a Christian academy sponsored by a missionary Baptist. Thanks be to God for that. I have cousins and I have friends that teach in the public school. And they tell me all the time that they can't hardly stand the things that they're being told to do. But they tell me, it's okay for you to take pride in yourself. It's okay for you to be proud about how you live, how you do. It's okay for you to be whoever you are. My friends, let me tell you something. If God didn't create you that way, you better stay how God put you. Let's just be honest about it. God makes no mistakes. I don't care how many times you go to your mama or how many times your mama talks to you, your daddy, or whoever, and tells you, it's okay, you be whatever you want to be or whoever you want to be or whatever you want to do, my friends. I don't care how many times they tell you that. If God made you boy, you better stay boy. If God made you girl, you better stay girl. And you better enjoy it. Let's just be honest about it. Because God didn't make a mistake. That's all of the devil. And you know what? God, you'll find over in Proverbs, God doesn't like. There's six things God doesn't like, and one of those is a proud look. Did you know that? God don't like pride. Why don't you like it? You know why that is? Because when you get boastful, when you get proud, what we do to our children, we're teaching them perfect or fine. It's not perfect or fine. We're God's creatures, created in His likeness, not Him created in ours. Us created in His. For His honor and glory, not for us. You see, God's going to get honor and glory out of us one way or the other.
That's right.
Let's just be honest. You say, now, Brother Barber, that can't be so. Yes, it is. It's so.
Amen.
It's so. You'll either praise God here on this side, or you'll praise Him one day or a while.
Yeah.
And you'll acknowledge that He's God. That's just true. Everyone that's been saved good by the grace of God, we got a promise of a home in heaven one day after a while. We have a promise of the kingdom of God. And this man made mention last night, and you go over in the Bible and you find it. When God grafted us in, when He saved our souls, He made us heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We have a promise of the kingdom. Find over in the book of Revelation that there's going to come a time when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess before God. What people refer to as the Great Judgment Day. And I want you to understand something. Even those that don't believe that God is real, even those that have mocked God and said that God has made them who they wasn't supposed to be and things of this nature, if they die lost and without God, they are going to go to the devil's hell and they'll be cast off. What does it say? He says he'll divide the goats from the sheep. And he'll say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. They'll be cast off. Now, there's a whole other sermon out of, or a whole other thought come out of that. There's a second death coming as well. second death coming. Their bodies will be joined with their souls and they'll be cast off into the lake of fire. But what you need to know is that everybody will bow and confess unto God. Writer says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. There will be no one that will not be able to say and know that he's God. Now,
as we go on over for just a second, we want to go to the book. Let's just go on and talk about Daniel. You all know Daniel. Maybe get ahead of myself here. Go over to the 6th chapter of the book of Daniel if you want to. And you can read there starting in the 10th verse, and you can find where Daniel prayed unto God. And he knew that a decree had been made by the king that no one should pray unto any other god other than Baal. But Daniel believed and trusted in God. So much, though, that he prayed every day. Now, there's something we need to think about. We think a lot about Daniel. Those of you that know the story of Daniel, you know that he prayed 3 times a day. And that when this decree was made, it didn't defer him from praying from God to God. Instead, he went into his upper room in his house and he opened up the windows and he prayed unto God. He let everybody see that it didn't matter what the devil wanted, God was still the one that was in control. But you see, people say that, well, that's just Daniel. Let me tell you something about Daniel that we need to stop and think about. It wasn't that Daniel was a strong person. It wasn't that Daniel was someone who wanted everybody to see him. It was that Daniel was faithful unto God. That's what it was. And that's what we need to be, is faithful unto God in all things that we do, everything that we do. Faithful unto the one who not only can give breath of life, but also can save the soul. No, I'll be faithful unto the one that not only can give you a living here in this world, my friend, but also can take away everything as well. Go over and look at Job. Don't believe you can? Go read Job sometime. But now, let me tell you about that. The Lord allowed the devil to take that from Job. But you see, God's still in control. You need to understand that. Friends, we need to be more faithful. We need to be a little bit more like Daniel and have that faith and trust in God that no matter what may come, we still know that our help is through and by God himself. That our Savior is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The love of God manifest in the flesh. That the Spirit of the Comforter that was sent to us to allow us to know that God is with us and that God speaks unto us is the Holy Ghost. And that God is part of the Holy Ghost. He's part of God. They're three, but they act together and work together as one. And friends, I want you to understand that. God is always there in everything that goes on in our lives,
in everything that we do, everything that we say. God is always around, my friends. Some peace is always there. And God don't take it ashamed to just ask sometimes. We'll be done here in just a second. I told you to go back to the very first portion. What we read to you over in the book of Exodus in the 33rd chapter over there, 11 and 12 verse. I wanted you to keep that in your heart. I wanted you to keep that in your mind. That God, the Lord, spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks unto a friend. I've been told we make prayer. Sometimes the best thing that we can do is just clear our hearts and our minds. Jesus told us when you pray in this way. Enter into thy closet and pray in this fashion. What do you mean by that? Shut the world out. You didn't mean we're going to physical closet. If it takes you going into a physical closet, I'm not going to argue with you over that. More than that, what you do is shut everything out of your heart and mind.
Amen.
And put God first. That's what he meant by that. Moses went into that tabernacle to pray. And when he went into that tabernacle to pray, he wasn't thinking about the people. He wasn't thinking about ones around him. He was thinking about God. How do I know that? The first few verses we read to you, the 9th and 10th verses before that we read to you. What did it say when Moses entered into that tabernacle? That the Spirit, the cloud would come down in the cloud and covered the front. That entrance of that thing, to that tabernacle. You can go back and read it. I'll just paraphrase. And that the people watched as Moses went in and saw that cloudy spirit come down and stand there. And every man fell to his, in prayer, knelt in prayer in the doorway of his own tent. Why? Because they witnessed God speaking. God can speak to us. Have you ever thought about it? I mean, really think about it. Sometimes the best prayers are just to sit down and say, Lord, you know, I need you. And I need to tell you how much I appreciate you doing this and helping with that, but Lord, I need you. Or Lord, there's something bothering me. You don't have to have a form and fashion. Truly, if you want to get into a form and fashion, as I said, missionary Baptists don't have a patent on it. You want to really think about it, and I'll tell you why I said you throw rocks at me. Missionary Baptists don't like this, most of them don't. But I'm here to tell you there's nothing wrong with it because the word of God even says stand and give reverence unto the word of God. Nothing wrong with it. But now, it also teaches us not to pray as the Pharisees and Sadducees and stand and let them see us and let think that people are going to think something of us. It's the heart that God works at.
Yeah.
Why do we call salvation heart work? Because it's the intent of the heart that God works at. There's power in prayer. I hope you believe. Those of you who've been saved, I hope you understand. Those of you who's lost, I hope you understand one day. If not tonight, when? But I hope one day you'll understand. There's power in prayer.
Goes as far as the Lord lets my thoughts go.
Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song and Let us all stand and sing and dwell upon what was said tonight in our hearts and ponder on them. I'm so thankful that there is power in prayer. You know, I think you can look in the sixth chapter of Ephesians as well when Paul lists the whole armor of God. You know, he gets done listing that armor and then he says, but praying always with all supplication. Prayer is a mighty weapon that we have and are in need of as God's people. So, Sister Rachel, get us a song, please. Thankful for a good song. And you know, I was thinking, I believe a couple years ago I heard a story about Brother Bridgewater Wilburn there, and I believe one year down in Tennessee there was a little drought that came and crops just weren't growing, you know. And so there are some brethren that looked at Brother Bridgewater and they said, Brother, would it be all right if we went up to Macy's Hill Church and we prayed that God would just send us some rain? Well, he said, well, yeah, that's okay. So the brethren went up to Macy's Hill Church to pray that God would send rain. And you see, when they went into that church to pray for rain, they brought an umbrella with them too. And I always enjoy that story. It always sticks out in my mind and in my heart. Because why should we question God? Why should we question what he's able to do? You know, it's just up to us to pour out our hearts and our needs to him, you know. I think of Hezekiah there in Isaiah when he saw the great trouble that the people were in. He went into a room and the Bible says he just spread it all out there before God. You know, sometimes that's what we have to do, is just spread it all out there before God and realize that we're in a position that, God, I can't do anything unless you come down and help me. I can't do this on my own. I can't do that on my own. But God, in all things, just let me decrease so that you can increase in my life. Less of me and more of you. I wonder at this time if there might be anything else upon anybody's hearts they feel like needs to be said or done. Amen.
Walk with him again. I'm thankful he's a good God like that. But he's been there for me, and I'm thankful. When you get your heart, when you realize it, do something about it now.
Let's Amen.
Make the start today.
Yes.
I didn't want to leave here with that thought.
God bless. God bless. Certainly thankful for this tonight. Anybody else have anything upon their heart?
You know, as time went on, I seen they need the Lord. And like his brother said, that's between God and them. You can pray for them.
That's right.
And that's what we did. We took them to church and we prayed for them. We tried to let out, you know, a path for them to find God. But, you know, the older they got, and our kids are old now, and our youngest is like 37 years. All I can do for them now is pray. My mom, she's 84 years old, and she says, how in the world, Bert, you and Randy go through all the turmoil that you do and still, you know, still have a brain? I said, because of power of prayer. I have to pray for my kids now. They're out of my reach. Their problems are too big for Randy and I to even master. We're not rich people. can't pay their way out of whatever the problem is. We can't save their children. We can't look after all of our family, but God can.
Amen.
So that.
Man.
God can turn around anybody or anything in a twinkling of an eye.
That's right.
Everything is possible with our Lord. Everything.
That's right.
And I tell you, I am so grateful for prayer.
Yes.
Because I pray a lot. I don't pray enough, but I pray a lot to my Lord, and I'm glad that He doesn't get tired of hearing it. You know, sometimes I think my mom, she's got a little bit of this Alzheimer's thing, and Mom would talk to me on the phone, and within just a matter of minutes, she'll start rewinding and saying the same thing again. That's what happens when you get old. So all these young people overlook us elderly people. We repeat ourselves. But what I'm getting at is we can repeat ourselves to our Lord.
Yeah.
And we can pray and pray and just keep on keeping on and praying to our Lord, and He never gets tired of it.
Amen.
It's just like when our kids call us up on the phone. It just thrills me to death. Thrills me to death. It's just like $1 million to me just to hear their sweet voice, because I love my kids.
Yeah.
And don't you think that our Lord feels the same way?
Amen.
When we call upon Him?
Yeah.
He's happy to be there for us.
Amen.
Yeah.
He's willing to help us. We just got to have faith.
Amen.
I have
Yes.
Thank you for the message. You know, I I was deceived when I was 11 years old. And in a day service, Dad wasn't there. And when Mom told him I got saved, Dad said to her, he told me privately later, he said to her, he said, I got a problem with that. I got a burden for him, and God's not removed it. And she jumped all over him. Don't you ever say anything like that to him. Dad held his peace for 4 years, but God permitted him to be there the night when I got saved. We was out working together next day or a day or two later. He said, son, do you know you got it this time? I said, without a shadow of a doubt. He said, I didn't have it, but it just needed to hear you say it.
Amen.
Let your light so shine before the world.
That's right.
I thank God for parents and for others. Don't carry a burden between them and the Lord. And if they know God, give it to
them. Amen. Amen. So thankful for this. Anybody else have anything on their hearts tonight? Yes. Yes.
And I just kept sinking, and the devil was throwing everything in my way, trying to make me get up. And I got to the point he wasn't even crying. And he said, you're not even crying. He's not going to save you. And I thought, I don't care if I'm crying or not. I won't be sick.
Yes. Amen.
It was just like water just flowing. And it was like it was the old coming out and the new was coming in. And everything was so bright. And everyone looked so different to me. And they were beautiful and glowing. And I knew that I got it. But I remember my mom, I was down. I said, I think I got it. And she said, honey, you can't believe it. And I said, I know I got it.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Certainly thankful for this and the good instruction that was given. Amen. Anybody else have anything on their hearts tonight? Amen.
Told me donations or try to help people that are needy, which can be all good things, but without God saving my soul and without having that peace, it's all for nothing. Fight my whole life for wealth or for things that mean something in this world, but without Him, it's nothing, because it's going to go away.
That's right.
This life is not eternal.
That's right. Amen.
I just
thank
Him so much. I know it's been long, but I just feel like God really wanted me to share the moment.
God bless. God bless. Certainly thankful for this. You know, I heard a preacher say one time that every now and then when you get, and every now and then we need to put fence posts down in our lives. So that way when we get down and discouraged, we're able to look at those fence posts and we're able to look at the times that God has heard and answered us. And we were able to see Him move, you know. And, you know, I often think of Psalms 116. I love the Lord because He heard my voice and my supplication. Therefore, I'll call upon the name of the Lord as long as I live. You know. Oh, because what He did for me as that 7-year-old boy when He reached down and saved me, that's enough reason for me to call upon Him as long as I live, you know. But then I get to thinking about those fence posts and the times that I've seen. You know, we sing a song about an unseen hand. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land, you know. I'm thankful sometimes that unseen hand can be just a little bit visible for me to see when I look back at that fence post, you know. And I know I'm getting a little long now, but I think about the song Sweet Hour of Prayer. And about the first 3 or 4 verses of that song, it talks about how great it is to pray and to commune with God. And in the very last verse, it says, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise and view from Mount Pisgah's lofty height. And I will shout while I'm passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Have you ever often stopped and thought about that? You know, we need prayer. We need communion with God while we're on this earth, but up there where I'm going, Brother Scott, I'll be with Him evermore. There won't be a need for me to pray because He'll be right there for me to walk beside Him and for me to praise and sing praises to the glory to the Lamb for eternity. Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. How great that would be to say one day. And I'm not saying prayer is not a great thing. Oh, I love talking to my God. Oh, but one day I just long to see Him finally. Oh, anybody else have anything on their hearts tonight? Anything at all they just feel like needs to be said or done? Are all hearts and minds free? If all hearts and minds are free, then this time will be dismissed. Service tomorrow morning. We have Sunday school at 10, worship at 11. Let's be prayerful for our Sunday school teachers. As they get ready and prepared for their lessons tomorrow morning. And let's be prayerful for the service tomorrow morning that God will just continue to meet with us, intervene. And Brother Dale, I believe you're preaching tomorrow morning. So let's be prayerful for him as he goes and fulfills his preaching appointment tomorrow morning. Let's be prayerful for our sister churches tomorrow.